Good morning, and welcome to part two of our two-part series on Grama Bini Zakin. I see people here who weren't here for the first half. I hope it will still be intelligible. To do a very fast recap, this starts off with Bava Basra Chaf Beis Amid Beis Chaf Gimel Amid Aleph, and the statement there that Grama Bini Zakin Usur, that you're not allowed to cause harm to other people, even indirectly. We had that story with the blood letter sitting under the date palms of Rabbi Yosef and either disturbing him or ruining the dates, depending on how one looks at the result of the ravens who were attracted to the blood letters. And we asked the question last time of what exactly this prohibition is. What is the Isser of Grama? We gave three different we started out by asking, when we say that you're not allowed to engage in Grama, what that means is you're not liable in Beis Din. However, you're chayav b'dinei shamayim. As far as Hashem is concerned, you're supposed to be paying. And we gave three different views of what that means. There was the Me'iri, who was very extreme. You're actually responsible to pay. It's just that Beis Din can't force you to do it. As opposed to the second view, which is, there's no liability, but it's a matter of kapara, it's a matter of atoning for wrongdoing. Rashi sounded like that. And then we had a third view, which is there were two kinds of chayav b'dinei shamayim. Some are more like the first one, some are more like the second one, and grama is really more like the second one. It's not always true for chayav b'dinei shamayim, but it's true in the case of grama. We went through quite a bit about that. And then we asked, so why exactly is one liable for a category of activities that's called garmi? Because grama is when you cause harm indirectly via your actions, but there is a class of activities called garmi, which is not only prohibited, but which actually carries liability. And we saw that Tosos and Bava Basra asked, what exactly is this garmi thing, and why is it that one is liable for it? And Tosas gave us a whole bunch of cases. I didn't reproduce my table on this source sheet. It's on last week's source sheet, the table of all the different cases. But we saw that there are some cases in which you harm somebody indirectly and you are not liable, at least not liable in Beis Din, and that's what we call grama. And then there are other cases where you are liable, and that's called garmi. As an example, one of the cases we're going to be discussing today, the money changer. Somebody comes to a money changer and says to him, I was in a transaction with somebody, he gave me this coin, should I accept it? Is it a valid coin? The money changer looks at it, says, looks good to me. And then it turns out that no, that coin is actually no good. That's a case in which the money changer is liable. That is called garmi. I just realized that I didn't turn on my speaker. I don't know if anyone's been trying to say anything. Nope, we're good? Okay, my speaker is now on. So in the event that you do want to say something, please feel free. But we said in such a case, you are liable. And Tosfa says, so I don't understand. The money changer did not directly harm you, right? The money changer said to you, the coin is a good coin. Yes, eventually that caused harm, but it's no more direct than the blood letters who are sitting under the tree attracting birds that ruin the dates. What's the difference between the two of them? That was Tosfos' question, and we saw the Mordechai throw up his hands and say, yeah, I don't know. There are all sorts of distinctions that people try to draw, but they don't really work. So we first saw the view of Ramban, who says that Rashi believes Grama and Garmi are actually the same. And either you're liable for both, or you're liable for neither. We argued that that's unsustainable, as the Maharshal argues that it's unsustainable as a read of Rashi. But that leaves us wondering, so what is the story? Because for Grama you're exempt, Garmi you're liable, and I don't understand what the difference is between them. That's really what we're up to. I don't know if that worked as a 3-minute summary of what we did last time, but that's the point that we go forward from. So we had started the first view last time. And the first view is that there really is an inherent difference between cases that we identify as grama and cases that we identify as garmi. So we saw the view of the Ri, for example, and the Ri says that in a case of garmi, the person who causes the harm is the only one who is involved, and a second criterion, that the harm is caused immediately after the harm takes place immediately after the catalyst. Whatever it was that you did led immediately to that result. Tosfos has problems with that view of the Ri. After all, we saw that a case of Garmi, one of the cases of Garmi, is a Dayan in Beis Din, a judge in court who tells somebody, you, Reuven, you owe money to Shimon, and then Reuven goes and pays money to Shimon. That's called Garmi, a case like that if the judge is incorrect. But why? He's not the only one involved. The litigant chose to pay. And it's not necessarily immediate. The judge gave an order now. A year later was when the guy paid up. Why in the world should that be Garmi? So we saw the Rush. And the Rush, as well as the Ramban, brought the idea called Bari Hezekah. Bari Hezekah means, purposes, the harm is clear cut. What you did clearly is going to cause this to happen. So you are the agent of this deed. And the danger, whatever it is, the fallout, actually, I shouldn't say danger, the fallout is clearly going to happen as a result of what you did. So Ramban says, our case of the judge and the litigant, he says, the harm happens when you give the verdict. The harm isn't ultimately when Reuven pays Shimon inappropriately. The harm happens at the moment that you give the payment. That was Ramban's explanation. And we talked a little bit about this. We gave some ins and outs of it. But I wanted to come back to note something significant regarding the Rush and the Ramban on this point. Because I had a chance to look on Shabbos at the Encyclopedia Talmudit article on Grumma and Garmi. And they noted a nafkamina. There's a difference between the approach of the Rush and the approach of the Ramban. Even though they both invoke Bari Hezekah. Take a look on your sheet, please, at source Aleph, where the Rush says, Nirali dehilchsa karavina demechayev, right? He's talking about the case, as I added in brackets, a case in which somebody keeps another person's animal out in the sun, right? It's exposed to the heat of the sun, because you kept the animal there. So Ravina says, you're chayev. So the Rush says, yeah, you are chayev. This is a Garmi case. Mishum dedami ledina de Garmi, velola grama ben Izakin. He says, this is a Garmi case, not grama ben Izakin. Lefi ata'am shepirei shasim aperek lo yachbor, vechil kubein dina de Garmi le grama ben Izakin, based on what we said in Bava Basra. What do you mean? Why is this Garmi? Ki hu atzmo osa ha-hezek le-mamon chaveiro, shu mitzamtzem behemto, because you are the one who is causing the harm to the other guy's animal. You're keeping the animal out there in the sun. Ubari hezeka ki vadei tamus, and the harm is very clearly going to happen. The animal is definitely going to die. Ve-hezek maschil miyad, ve-olech ve-chazek, it even begins right away, and it becomes stronger. That's the Rush, on the case in which you keep the animal out in the sun. And the point that I want to highlight for you is that the Rush lists all the criteria in order to say you're chayev. It's not just Bari Hezekah that this is, you know, definitely going to happen. But it is also that you are the one who is the cause. Contrast that with Ramban in source base. Ramban, when he talks about it, says, you want to know why you're liable for Garmi? Everyone on the chat, the source sheet is in the chat, so hopefully you'll be able to pull it from there if you're not on the email list. I think those who didn't get it in their email already were on when you uploaded. Thank you. V'ze'atam l'chol elu. Ramban says this is the reason for Garmi. Kla gadol yeh biyadcha kol ha-goreim. Umachmas garma so ba hezek shi efshir ela ba oso hezek ve notale bedas acherim ela bisha shagaram baha hezek oshu asid lavo. Kagon zechiev rabbi meyav nikra begemara bari hezekah. He says, all you need is bari hezekah. All you need is that you are the cause, and when you do this, it is guaranteed to have it happen. That is the sole element necessary. I don't need anything else. So, for example, I don't need miyad. That's not necessary. It's just Bari Hezekah. That's the position of Ramban. So I thought that was an interesting distinction drawn between the two of them. I wanted to show you just one last piece. Yes, Jeffrey.
Apparently that distinction could be as follows as well in court law.
Yeah.
One is simply looking looking at causation. In other words, you were the cause.
Yeah.
And the other view is maybe also you have to be like a more closer relationship, like a neighbor. So by the basing, that wouldn't necessarily work, but the money changer would work. You've got a relationship.
Right, we're going to talk about that, God willing, the special relationship. But if we get to my malpractice discussion, if you look at source chavtes,
that might also be contractual too.
Yes, yep. So we hopefully will get to that. Not 100% sure we'll get to it, but we'll see. Thank you. So the Baal HaTrumos, another Rishon, is in this conversation, in the view that Grumma and Garmi are substantively different from each other, and they are that liability for Garmi is De'oraisa. He says the idea in Garmi, the reason you're liable in Garmi, he doesn't say the Bari Hezekah thing. He doesn't pick up on that. He says it's because you caused the other fellow a loss. You caused the other fellow a loss. And what he does is he blends two things which I would have thought he should not be blending. He blends Garmi and Davar HaGorem L'Mamon, which I would have thought these are two entirely different things. He says no. Introducing the topic, take a look at source Gimel, please. Mishnah Bava Kamma. Rabbi Shimon talks about the case in which you steal somebody's carbon that person had dedicated, and it was a carbon that person was liable to replace. Kachim shuchayiv ba'achrayusam. Right? Sometimes you have a carbon that you don't have to replace. A person swears that he's gonna bring a certain cow as a carbon, a certain whatever, mincha, a certain flower offering as a carbon, and then something happens to it, it gets blown up. He doesn't have any requirement to replace it. However, if he took a vow, he took a shvuah saying, or neder, saying, he said he is going to bring a carbon shlamim, he is going to bring a carbon toda, and he dedicated an animal. And then, that animal is gone, somebody comes and steals that animal, butchers the animal, now he's going to have to bring a new one. So that's what we call dabar hagorem lamamo. You caused somebody a financial loss. The loss of this item is going to need to be replaced. Now he's going to have to pay. So Rabbi Shimon says, if you steal somebody's carbon, which he's going to have to replace, and then you butcher it, you sell it, tabach u'machar, misham tashlumi abava chamisha, you have to pay four or five times. She'ein chayev ba'achrayusam pater, whereas if it's something he doesn't need to replace, then you're exempt from any responsibility. Now think about that. Why am I exempt from responsibility if it's an animal he doesn't need to replace? I still stole his animal. Why don't I need to pay anything? Yeah, Daniel. Go ahead.
You might say that once it's specifically this animal is because there's no other animal, maybe you already belong to Hashem.
Yeah, precisely. Daniel said, I'm repeating it for those online, in the case of a carbon he doesn't need to replace, it's not really his. It doesn't belong to him anymore. I didn't steal it from him. Tavach u'machar, you pay four or five from a human being, not from God. However, if he's going to need to replace it, then I harmed him. Then I need to pay him four or five. As I state, that's the Mishnah in Bava Kamma about Davar HaGorem L'Mamon. Well, we saw the Gemara in Bava Kamma Tzadiches Amad Aleph, Tzadiches Amad Beis, which I have here in Source Dalid. We saw this last time regarding burning somebody else's shtar. It wasn't on the sheet last time, but we mentioned it last time. You burn somebody else's shtar. Somebody has a document that says so-and-so owes me money, and you come along and burn the document. Now, nothing's happened to the debt. The guy still owes you the money. You just don't have the proof anymore. So look at the Gemara in Source Dalet. Va'amar, Rabba, hasarig shtar shachavero pater. Rabba says, you burn somebody else's shtar, you're exempt from liability. Da'amar lain, yara kaloi minach. Because you can just say, I burned paper. That's all I did, I burned paper. I'm not responsible for what happens to your ability to collect the debt. That's Rabba's statement. Then comes along Rav Dimi Bar Chanina, and he says, wait a minute, not so fast. Had the Rabba machlokas Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan hi. Rabba's statement is actually a machlokas tanoim. L'Rabbi Shimon damar davar garam l'mamon k'mamon dami mechayev. Rabbi Shimon will say, you're absolutely chayev. You're absolutely chayev, because you kept him from being able to collect his debt. It's true that you didn't destroy an item of inherent value, but you caused him a loss. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, Dabra Garma Lamama Lav Kamamun Dami. I don't care that it is going to cause a loss. It wasn't something of inherent value. They're going to agree with Rabbah. Then Rav Huna Bar Yeshua comes along and he says, not so fast. Even Rabbi Shimon, who says that you're liable for Dabra Garma Lamamun, only says that if it's something that had inherent value at some point, and he discusses stealing somebody else's chametz, and then Pesach comes. I'm not getting into that conversation right now. Instead, the Gemara concludes, after throwing out the idea that it's about Dabra Garma Lamamun, Amemar says, last line in Source Dalet, Man didoin dina degarmi magbi beit demei shtara ma'alya. If you believe that one is liable for Dina Degarmi, then you're liable for causing the destruction of his shtar. Because that fits into Garmi. Umandalo doin Dina Degarmi, magbi beit demei niyara bi'alma. If you don't believe in Garmi, then just pay for the paper that you destroyed. That's all it is. Paper was more expensive then. Yes, Jeffrey. So, not necessarily, because if we're dealing with Nezek, Nezek will apply even if it's accidental. Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. However, what I hope to get to in that last section is the question of Garmi, if it's not intentional. That's where this becomes a question. So, hang in there. I keep pointing you to the end. That's the truth. Okay. So, yeah, Michael. You have to be really loud or someone has to bring you a computer. So you are correct. It's not a requirement according to him. What Michael asks, I'm not sure how much of that came through on Idan's speaker. What Michael is asking is, but that's not Bari Hezekah in the case where you burned the guy's document, right? And my answer to you is no. This idea that we're blending Davar Garla Mamon and Garmi is not following any of the rules that we've given for defining Garmi. Hang in there. Hang in there. They'll say we don't pass them like a Maimar. So on the face of it, and this is where Michael was really going with this, I said the issues of Dabar HaGorim LeMamon and Garmi are entirely different issues. I mean, look at the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself progressed in Sores Dalid. First they said maybe the issue with the Shtar is about Dabar HaGorim LeMamon. And then they said, no, it's not about Dabar HaGorim LeMamon. However, it's about Garmi. Right? It sounds like these are really two different things, and they should not be blended, they should not be merged. And it's logical. Because really, the issue of Dabar HaGorim LeMamon is not about the action, it's about the object. Dabar HaGorim LeMamon means, if I destroy something, and by destroying that object, that causes him to have to replace it. It's an object he needs to replace, and that's going to cost him money. That's Dabar HaGorim LeMamon. Whereas Garmi is an action that I perform. We're on two different axes. These are really different. Dabar HaGorim LeMamon is defining an item's worth. Garmi is defining an action. I would have said these are two completely different things. Yes, Idan. What do you mean?
Why is it Garmi and Dabar HaGorim LeMamon? It's about the object. What's the difference? Are there obvious that it's Garmi?
I don't understand what you're asking.
I'm asking about the case of the Shulchan Aruch.
Yes.
Why do you say this is Garmi? And you don't say, but he spoke, the damage is about the object and not the action. Because this is, he cannot use it anymore. Because the damage that happened there, then it's Dabar HaGorim LeMamon. And it's not Garmi as everyone says Garmi. According to the
issue. So, as I understand it, Garmi, in the case of the coin, you are causing him a loss having nothing to do with a Dabar HaGorim LeMamon discussion. In other words, Dabar HaGorim LeMamon isn't the point. The point is that you caused him a loss. Or to say it differently, Garmi is about what I was trying to say before. It's about my action. Did I, in my action, cause harm to so-and-so? Davar garm lamamon is the item that I destroyed worth anything? That's really what it's about. If I cause somebody harm, right? Let's say I hit somebody, right? Let's say I wound somebody. Forget value. That can be a garmi ish. I mean, it's more than garmi. It's nezek. It's not about whether there's any worth to what I destroyed.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So the I wasn't going to use the Chefza Gavra thing, but shkoyach to you. But I would have viewed them as different, and frankly, the split fits our psak. The Shach in Choshen Mishpat Shimpei Vav Yud notes this regarding the Rambam. I brought you on the sheet that the Rambam says in Source Hay, commenting on that Mishnah in Bava Kamma, he brings you the Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, and then he says, Vein halachik Rabbi Shimon, we don't follow Rabbi Shimon, meaning you are not liable for Davar Agorim Lamamon. I thought there was another way to read that Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos, but I'm not going into that right now. It was good enough for the Shach. The Rambam says that Davar agarl mamon is not mamon. On the other hand, we already know the Rambam holds, like Rabbi Meir, that you're liable for garmi. So they really are two different things. Also, the Balei HaTosfos differentiates between them. The Balei HaTosfos bring garmi and davar agarl mamon separately. Take a look at source vav. Gemara Bava Basra Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. Amar Rabba Bar Chiya Katosfa Mishmei the Rabba Borer Tzror Migarno Shel Chaveiro. In the event that somebody is selling wheat, and there are pebbles that are in it that he's able to include in the volume of the sale, and I come along and do him a favor. I filter out the pebbles that are in the, that are in the wheat. So now, when he sells the wheat, he is going to need to, he's gonna need to include more wheat. So the Gemara there in Bava Kamma discusses this and says, no say lo, demei chitin. Rabba says, you have to pay for the wheat that he is now going to be forced to include. And the Balei HaTosfos explain why, but they give different views. Source Ches, Vagos Mamanios on that. The Rambam brings the Halacha in Source Zion and says you're going to have to replace it. You're going to have to pay for it. And in Source Ches, Vagos Mamanios shows you. The Rivam says, why do I have to pay for that difference in the grain? He says, like Rabbi Shimon, Damar Davar Agar Lamamu Kamamon Dami. However, the Rashbam says, the Chayim Mishum Dina Degarmi. These are two different issues. They're not meant to be blended. But the Bala Trumos, as pointed out by the Shach, says, no, I think these are actually the same thing. What Garmi means is that you caused the person a loss. That's all of Garmi. So the Tefer HaTruma says this explicitly in Source Tes. He's talking about the case in which somebody sells somebody else a shtar and then forgives it, right? I have a shtar that says that Idan owes me money, and then I sell to Shanis, and having sold it to Shanis, I then forgive the debt to Idan. So in that case, looking at the Tefer HaTruma, any Omer, Shehamocher Shemachal Umeis, all right, I want somebody else to be the mocher. But if there's a mocher, if somebody sells the shtar, does this forgiving of the debt, and then I just realized that my speaker was off from that last conversation. If anybody wanted to say anything online? No? We're good? Okay. So in the event that, I hate hybrid shiurim, in the event that somebody sells the document, forgives the debt, and then dies, he has to, hang on 1 second, Harvey. Not only does he have to pay, but if he dies, his son is going to be obligated to pay for it. And certainly if his son, the heir, is the one who forgives it, he's going to have to pay for it. I just want to finish the thought once I started on the Sefer HaTrumos. And he says, the reason is because, Sharei, Sarev, Shtarosev, Shachavero, Pasaknu, Sha'avo, Bishain, Guvashtar, Mamon, Kevin, Shu, Gorim, La'abed, Mamon, Chavero, Chayev. Because if somebody burns somebody else's shtar, we say he's chayav, even though the shtar itself is not worth anything, because he caused the guy a loss. Uchda asikna hasam, and he quotes you on Meimar, and he continues to say, Dekaimelon krebishima damar davar agarim lemamon kimamon dami. Because it's davar agarim lemamon, and therefore it's like mamon itself. And then he continues to say, I should have bolded more. Vafilo b'davar she'eni kara mamon, dekeven desore vavid b'yadayim o'korea shterosev shechavero dina de garmihu. Because this is garmi. He links together garmi and davar hagorem lamamon. Sorry, Harvey, yes.
Yeah, no sweat. I think what you just said may have covered some of the point. And subject to Jeffrey commenting about any mistakes I'm about to make, I just wanted to say that it's interesting that the concept of an instrument, otherwise known as a shtar, is really sort of, I can't even think of the word, hedgy, I guess, here, because it comes in and out of reality, as
yes.
I'm noticing in your shir. Okay, so you're saying yes. Okay, because as a particular fan of when I was studying law, negotiable instruments, mm-hmm. which have reality in themselves, this instrument seems to sort of maybe not have reality. You have to pay for the paper, but not the thing. Anyway,
yeah.
I just wanted to comment that I'm a little adrift because we're switching back and forth between it's an instrument, it's a piece of paper.
Yes, okay. it's a quantum thing, that's all. Just don't observe it too closely. For those who want to see more on the Sefer HaTrumos, it's also in the Sefer HaTrumos, Chavtes Beis Ches. I didn't bring it on the sheet. He talks about a case of Sorev Shtarosav, and again, he links together Garmi and Davar Agorem Lamamon. The big problem I have with this definition of Garmi, saying that Garmi is any time you cause somebody else a loss, is that I don't know where Garmi ends and Grama begins. Because in Grama also you cause somebody a loss, right? What's the difference between this and sitting under the tree as a bloodletter and attracting the ravens, and the ravens are keeping him from being able to use his dates? That's also causing him a loss. And I don't think that what he's doing is what Ramban alleged that Rashi did, which is to say, no, they're all one thing. Grama and Garmi, they're all the same, and Chaya for both or Pater for both. I don't think so. But it's just a really interesting different perspective that the Sefer HaTrumos is bringing to the table here. I like the definition of Garmi as you caused him a loss, but I think that it creates this very, very unwieldy thing. Yes, Daniel. You're not with a computer, so you're going to have to, or you are with a computer, but you're not on the Zoom. Okay. Because he used the words Vavad Biyadayim there.
Yeah. What?
Where does he say Vavad Biyadayim?
At the end of the second
last month. They came into Sari Vavad Biyadayim. So maybe he has that as a limitation. I'd have to go look at some of the other examples that he discusses, but maybe it's Biyadayim that's whether I take the Sefer HaTrumos or not. This is all the school of thought that says Grama is a weaker form of Nezek, Garmi is a stronger form of Nezek. And now I want to come back to something I mentioned last time. I talked about the word Garmi, and I noted Rabbi Eliezer Berkovitz's comment that really Garmi is just the plural of Grama, and therefore they should really be viewed as the same. Now I want to show you the Levush, who says, nah, the Levush says, it's not true. And I brought it for you in source Yud on the sheet, but I see it's already 11 o'clock and you can see there's a lot more to go. So I'm not going to read it inside, but I did bring it for you and I bolded it and so on. But I'll tell you what he says. You know that in Hebrew we have binyanim, right? Binyanim are designed to frustrate people who just want to talk the language and don't want to understand it. So there's binyan kal, soft, and then there's binyan kaved, that is heavy. When you want to describe a stronger action, I'm now within the Levush's system of grammar. If you don't like it, take it up with the Levush, please. But the Levush argues that when you use a verb in binyan kal, it tends to have kamatzes. So you say amar, asa, shalach, That kind of verb structure. He says that's like the word grumma. Grumma is the two kamatzes. It's like binyan kal. As opposed to binyan kaved, where it's the heavier one denoting forceful action, then it's like shiber, shilach, which I'm saying in a stronger tone as though that changes anything. But it's to smash something. He gives you the example from the Mabul, right? Where he sends out the Yonah, vayishlach et ha-yonah, whereas with the orev, vayishalach et ha-orev. So he says, garmi is a kaved form. It's a heavier form that we're employing here, indicating that garmi refers to a stronger type of action. It's you who's doing it. It's a more immediate result. That sort of thing. I thought that was very interesting. Right, luchodesh or shibarta would be a good example, Rav Yehuda. Correct, Jeffrey. What? 1 second. I've got too many other people at the same time, and this whole system of speakers is not going to work. Jeffrey, go ahead.
English too, when you have passive writing or active writing.
Oh yeah, no, definitely the system of passive and active, but this is meant to denote two forms of active, a weaker form and a stronger form. It's definitely true in terms of Hebrew. Whether you could apply it to grumma and garmi, you know, this is what the levush does. We're going to see later on, I hope, that the sma does not like it at all. But it's a perspective. I'm gonna take Idan and then Tommy, you were gonna say something also? No? Okay, Idan.
Why Hebrew and Aramaic?
So,
Hebrew.
I know
there's a lot of common, but still.
Right. And the answer is that from a linguistic perspective, Hebrew and Aramaic are sister languages. Having studied Aramaic as a language, it is true that some of the rules are different, but that's what he's doing. You know, like it, don't like it, take it up with Rav Mordechai Yafeh. But that's what the Levush does. Was our resident linguist want to speak to this?
Just to be fair, yeah. These aren't verbs anyway, Goma and Garmin.
Right.
So he's saying, no, but there's something to it. The E sound is a much more like forceful, tense sound because it's a technical term. There is a sort of height of the E that it's.
Right. So for those who are on the Zoom, Andrew's not on the Zoom, he notes that we're not even talking verbs here. What we're really just doing is playing with the fact that there are certain sounds that are considered stronger sounds and weaker sounds, and that's being conveyed in the terms that are being used. I want to go to view number two, because really, Rav Yehuda is giving shiur next week, and I want to give him the full hour. He may be mochel, I don't know, okay. So this is all within the school of thought that says there is a substantive difference between grumma and garmi. Now we switch to the view that says no, it's an imposed difference. There really is no difference between causing somebody harm indirectly and calling it grumma and causing somebody harm indirectly and calling it garmi, except that the rabbi said, even though you're exempt from liability for causing harm indirectly, we are going to create liability as a knas, as a fine to prevent bad behavior. So take a look, please, at source number 11 on your sheet. This is from that same Tosas we talked about originally. It's the view of the Ritzba. V'nira l'Ritzba, d'dina d'garmi, havi mitam knas. It's a fine. Kin d'muchach b'Yerushalmi. As is evident, he says in the Yerushalmi, we're going to come back to that. U'lekach kol hezek hamatsui v'ragil lavo. When the nezek, when the harm is common, this is expected and normal, that's going to happen as a result of your actions. Kansu chachamim, the chachamim find such a person. V'tam de kansu, shalo ye kolach, adolechum azik l'chavei robein. We don't want people harming each other. So that's why it's there. It's like the Mordechai that I mentioned last week. The Mordechai saying, yeah, all these distinctions that people try to draw just seem artificial and forced, and they don't explain the cases. And really what this is a rabbinic recognition that there are threats to people that the Torah does not address. Right? This is a bigger picture. The Rashba has a tshuva in which he says, a society that tries to judge itself based on the laws of the Torah is going to fall apart because the Torah does not give you enough rules about what to do and enough prohibitions and enough penalties, unfortunately, you know, is the focus here, in order to prevent harm. The Shach comes to this point of view as well. There's a very, very long Shach. I gave it to you in the Maamar Makomos. I don't know if anybody actually went through it, but the Shach in Shin Pei Vav Aleph has an introduction in the beginning where he brings this point, and then he has this whole long discussion before he comes back to say the same thing. Yes, Jeffrey.
If you write a promissory note again on purpose, then you should be liable. It should be a knas. We do it deliberately.
So we're going to talk about knas and shogeg. I'm not there yet. So the Shach writes in Soris Yud Beis, just look at the part that I bolded for you, after bringing you the Ramban. And remember, the Ramban is a big believer in the idea that there's a substantive difference between Grama and Garmi. He says, no, Amnam Lefisha Nirali Iker De Dina De Garmi Eino Ela Knasa De Rabbanan. He says Garmi is simply a knas. It's a fine. That's all it's about. That's what's going on. The Sma offers an explanation of the word garmi that matches this. In that same section there on Shin Pei Vav. This is at the end of a long sma in Sois Yud Gimel. He says, Umimasha kasavdin is bar lecha. Based on what I said, it is now clear to you. Stiras divrei ha'ir shushan. The contradiction of the ir shushan. Ir shushan is the levush on Choshen Mishpat. If you ever use the levush, like inside in the levush, as opposed to just, you know, somebody saying Levush or seeing it on the Bar Ilan, you know that the Levush on each section of Shulchan Aruch has a different name. Levush Treles, Levush Yir Shushan, and so on. Obviously, yes, his name was Mordechai Yafe, and he took them from the Megillah. So he says, this contradicts what the Levush said. Shabali Tein Tam, Lama Karu Chazal, La'ilu Grama Shechaya Bo Dina Degarmi, U'le'ilu Shepatru Ben Karu Grama Ben Izaken, V'zeh Eino L'dasi Yesh Omrim Dehu HaMordechai Shekasav Shekulam Shavim Heim L'dina. He says that whole distinction of Grama and Garmi being different doesn't fit with the Mordechai and the Ritzbah, who said that Grama and Garmi are the same. Ela Shebegramos Hashchichos Kansu. They just find on common Gramos. Then he says, L'fiani is Daiti HaNira Lomer. This one you'll enjoy, Rav Jared. This will take us back to our discussion about binizakin and how to read that word. He says, "Dibahani gramos tepatri behu rabbanon milashal aim karuhu grama binizakin ubeelu ukeilu amru ha gramos bo mikoach hanizakin ukeilu bo me atzman velo mikoach haadam amazik." He says, "Grama binizakin means the grama of either." He means nizakin, like plural of the word nezek. The harm happened. You didn't cause it. It just happened, right? Like, I'm sorry you were insulted, instead of I'm sorry I insulted you. So, grama of the nezek, right? Or maybe he means even of the victim. I'm not clear on that. As opposed to, he says, when you're dealing with Dina de Garmi, he says, ubahani de mechaivi buhu rabbanon, the ones you're liable for, karuhu dine de garmi. That's dine of garmi, wrote Salomar. Hagromos lo bo me atzman ele me adam hamazik shegaram lehu. The harm didn't come on its own. It came from the goreim. It came from the person who caused it. I'm not clear on how he sees that in dine de garmi, whether it's the word dine or whether it's the word garmi that he's picking up on. But he says, That's the idea, and then he goes on to try to justify the levush and say maybe he meant that also. The sma says that dina de garmi, I think he is saying it's from the word din, is caused by the mazik. Grama binizakin is just something that happened. That's his suggestion. But, and this is the key point, you could come away from that thinking that he's drawing a distinction between grama cases and garmi cases. He's not. He's just saying this is the way Chazal looked at them. They looked at the grama cases as being things that just happen. They looked at the garmi cases as being things that you do. And that's and therefore they've decreed, there were gozer on the dine de garmi. We do have evidence that supports the idea that grama and garmi are really all the same, and it's just about a gezerah. Example, Mishnah and Gittin in Source Yadalid talks about if I am mitameh medameh menaseh, I contaminate somebody else's taharos. I mix his truma with other produce, ruining the other produce now. I'm menaseh, I pour out his wine for avodah zarah. In all these cases, bishogeg patur bemezid chayav. I'm only liable if I do it on person. If I do it on purpose. That only makes sense if it's a knas. Now I can come back to what Jeffrey was asking about before. The rule is that if it's nezek, I'm liable for doing it if it's on purpose or by accident. It doesn't make a difference. Why am I distinguishing accidental and on purpose? And the answer is I'm distinguishing because it's knas. And lo kan sushoge gatu mezid. There's no fine for people who do things accidentally. The fine is for people who do things intentionally. This also fits the language in the Yerushalmi in Kilayim. If you take a look at source Tes Vav, this is a case of a money changer. Chad bar nosh chavi sile le Rabbi Lezer, amar le tavahi ve'efsalis. We're going to see the Bavli version of this eventually later, I hope. There was somebody who showed a coin to Rabbi Elazar, and he told him, yeah, the coin is good, and then it turned out not to be good. Asa uvda kume Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, case comes to Reish Lakish, vikansei, he fined him. It's a knas. The money changer case is classic garmi, and the Yerushalmi calls it a knas. It's also seen in the Yerushalmi in Shvuos, Perek Vav Halacha Vav. That's the idea that it's a knas. Ramban, of course, is well aware of all of this. He says, that's very nice. That's cute. But it's not halacha. And he says, the Rambam doesn't think it's, I'm sorry, before I get to the Ramban, the Rambam doesn't think that this is halacha. If you take a look at the Rambam I brought you in Source Tezayin, he says it explicitly. Dine gramos einon kiknasos. What more do you need to know? Grama, garmi, this isn't a knas. V'govan osan v'danin v'hen b'chutz la'aretz, and therefore you can litigate them in chutz la'aretz. Knas requires Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, but also, if you take a look at Source Yedzayin, one of the classic cases of garmi is somebody who goes to a gangster and says, hey, this so-and-so has vulnerable property over there. That's a garmi case. Look at the Rambam on it in Source Yedzayin. Hamoser mamon chaveru biyad anos. You give somebody's property to a gangster. Chayev l'shalim and ayav v'shev v'nechasev. You have to pay with the best of your property. V'im mace. And if the person who was moser the property, who gave the property, dies, govin miyarshav kishar kol hamazikin. We collect it off of his heirs. One of the hallmarks of knas is that it's not against the heirs. The heirs do not have to pay it. So this seems to argue that no, it's not knas. Yes, Daniel? Daniel asks, could you say that when they made the knas, they made it like regular nezikin? So why this knas and not other knasos? Why? What is this knas different from all other knasos?
It's a very strong thing. It's a very difficult issue that people just...
Everyone thinks their issue is a difficult issue. They get in line. So, Daniel quotes the idea that maybe this knas was created with these rules. I find that hard to sustain. I don't think so. And the Rambam saying, this isn't knas, right? Dine gramos einon kiknasos. Don't start, you know, kiknasos is, right? Kiven jivim shana too. The Ramban really goes to town on this idea. He quotes the idea and he says, the idea I just wrote here is wrong. He really, really, really does not like it. First of all, he says, Yorshin shouldn't pay. If it's a knas, heirs don't pay. And he quotes you the Gemara in Source Yud Ches, which I'm not going to go into in depth. I just brought it here so you would have it, because it says specifically at the end, L'didei kansuhu rabbanon, librei loka kansu rabbanon. We don't fine the heir of the person who did something inappropriate. Interestingly, the Shach, remember, the Shach likes this view, that it's a knas. So the Shach says, whoever said that we punish a Yoresh for Garmi. He says, I'm okay with that. We don't. We don't punish a Yoresh for Garmi. Take a look at Source Yates. The Shach says, if the second part that I bolded, Valkain Pasku Shambip Shitus Katur Diyasham, I'm sorry, no. That's not what the Shach says. Sorry, that was incorrect. Now I'll read the Shach properly. Look at Source Yates. Hine be'emes, hatur v'machaber kaspu le'el, kishamochal shtaros yishamu yorshav. The tur in the machaber wrote that if somebody forgives the document that he sold to somebody else, the heirs do pay. V'hainu mishum didina digarmi chayav midina v'lo mishum knasa. That's because they hold that it's din, it's not knas. V'kakas of hatur, and he quotes you the Bala Trumos, which we mentioned before, they're following the tour who says that the heirs pay. He says, the ones who tell you the Yoresh pays believe that it is in fact like our first view. It's din. However, the school of thought that says it's knas, like the Balei HaTosfos, like the Ritzba, will say no, that the Yoresh does not pay. That's the answer that that the Shach gives. Another argument, and this goes back to the point we made about Shogeg, Ramban brings this, is you shouldn't be liable for Shogeg. I brought you the Ramban in Source Chaf from the Kuntres Dinig de Garmi. He says, Kasavti Zos Hasvara, I brought this view that Knas, that it's a Knas, Vein and Achon, and it's wrong. The first point is the one about Lokansu Beno, Lo Niknas Beno Achra, the heir should not pay, and then flip the page. He says, in his second bullet point there, I added the bullet points. Ramban didn't do bullet points. But he says, Vakaimalan, the part I bolded, Vakaimalan, Delokansin and Shogeg got too mazed. He says, if it's really a knas, you shouldn't be liable for Shogeg. You shouldn't be liable for doing it accidentally. And we saw that there is liability for Garmi that's done b'Shogeg. So he takes that on, as well. The Ramban notes, you could say that that's actually a Pshia case. He does offer that that possibility, but he goes on to say it's also a matter of language. The next bullet point: Va'anan dina de garmi kamrin and below knasa de garmi. The Gemara calls it dina de garmi. It doesn't call it knas of garmi. So there. He also notes that it's clear in Bava Kama Kuftes Zayin Amud Beis, the next bullet point. He says, in the case in which you show somebody's property to a gangster, the part that I bolded, Dekaimalan De'ach V'Achvuye V'lo Gazal Klum V'Kari Le Gazlan. All it is a case in which you show the property to the gangster. You didn't take anything yourself, and yet you're called a Gazlan. Amud Dinahu. So he says, that's only language you would use in terms of din. And then he says, as far as your Yerushalmi that used the word knas, so what? That doesn't bother me at all. He gives you two explanations. He says in the last bullet point in Source Chaf, Mashasamcha Yerushalmi b'mekareish d'rosu shachavero. They relied on the Yerushalmi in the case of somebody who tears up somebody else's shtaros. Shuchayv mishum knas, where it says that he's liable as a knas, man leimalan de'inu daina dina de'garmi. Who says that that's within the view that punishes for Garmi? Maybe that's against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir punishes for Garmi. We know Rabba doesn't punish for Garmi. So maybe that's within the view that doesn't do Garmi. So they say that it's a knas. That's number one. And number two, he says, Yerushalmi language is funny. He says, the part I bolded towards the end, Knasa Karile Tana Yerushalma Lishna Klilatani. I added in parentheses there what he's referring to is the Gemara in Bava Kama Davavam Advais, where they talk about a Yerushalmi using the language of Chav instead of Chayav, Kishahizik Chav Hamazik, and they say, because Yerushalmi talks funny. If you're a Bavli, that's what you say. So they spoke in a shorter way, in a briefer way. So he says, when they said knas, maybe they didn't mean what you think they mean. That's Ramban. So Ramban does not like this idea at all, but that is our second view. I'm not counting the view of Rashi, the view of Ramban of Rashi, that Grumma and Garmi are really the same and you're liable for everything or potter from everything. But starting with the view that says there's a substantive difference, the Araisa, now I have a view that there's no substantive difference and it's a Knas de Rabbanan. Michael, yes. So Idan, can you bring him to your computer? Is that possible? Thanks. So it's a good question. It's a good question you're asking. As I understand it, knasas don't change. In other words, once they create a knas for a particular action, we're stuck with it. That's right. That goes along with it. We do not invent new knasos. That's a very important point. I went into that a little bit in the shir I gave. It's on YU Torah somewhere on malpractice. Because they were talking about malpractice of somebody who did something that's analogous to the money changer case. I think it was an investment advisor case. And the question was, would we hold you liable as Garmi, just like the money changer is liable? And one of the arguments that's brought there is to say, it's not really a new knas Because it's the same thing. Investment advisor and money changer are close enough to each other. It's in the same category and under the same existing knas. Okay. So the third view here is that it's a derabanan to prevent bad behavior, but it's not a knas. Not a knas. It's a din derabanan. The difference between saying derabanan and saying knas, we now know, is first of all practical. Liability for shogeg. Right? Liability for doing it accidentally. If it's a knas, you're not chayev. If it's a din derabanan, you are chayev. Passing it along to the yoresh, to the heir of the vandal, if it's a din derabanan, it will go along. If it's a knas, it will not go along. Also, though, from a philosophical perspective, a derabanan may follow rules that you can define and allow extrapolation to new cases. Michael just asked about inventing a new knas. You can't invent a new knas, but you can say this new case is under a din derabanan. It comes from the same place, a rabbinic recognition that there are threats that the Torah didn't take care of that we need to take care of. But it's a different mechanism for dealing with it. That's the idea. Rabbi Elazar Berkowitz argues in Torah Degeon Bahalacha that you could argue that the Ri actually believes it's a derabanan. The Ri that we saw in that Tosas originally believes that it's a derabanan. It's based on Tosas in Bava Kamma Nun Dalet. If you take a look at Source Chav Aleph, they're dealing there with an issue called Takonas Nigzal. Takonas Nigzal means the following. You have a case in which somebody alleges that an item was stolen from him. An item that somebody else has was actually his item, and it was stolen from him. And the other guy is supposed to swear, technically. But he can't. There's a reason why he's possible. The other guy is not able to swear. So Takanas Nigzal is a rabbinic enactment that says we will allow the plaintiff to swear and be able to claim it in order to get back his stolen item. That's a derabanan that's meant to help him. So the question is there such a takana also for the victim of Mesira? Somebody came along and showed your property to a gangster, and now your property is gone. Do we have the same idea that the victim is able to swear? So Tosva says, V'omari, Ulaman didoin dina de garmi nami lamachayev elamid derabanan. Garmi is only rabbinic. The word rabbinic doesn't tell me that it's knas or derabanan. It could be either, both of those will fit under rabbinic. But he says, Kedemuch peraka kones, demibayilei asu takanas nigzal b'masur olo. Where they ask the question of whether this takana that is made for the victim of theft also applies for the victim of mesira. I added in the bracketed words to allow him to swear and collect olo. Ve'i dina de garmi de oraisa lama lo asu takanas nigzal b'masur kumo b'nigzal. And the Re says, if it were a de oraisa, then why would they not have created a takana for him on his behalf? It only makes sense to say they didn't make the takana for him if it's a derabanan. So Rabbi Berkowitz looks at the language of derabanan here, which I would have thought could also refer to knas, and he thinks no. He thinks this means a din derabanan, and he argues that the Rambam thinks so as well. We saw the language earlier, if you flip back to the Rambam in Source Tez Zayin, where he says, Dine gramos enon kiknasos. And he says, if the Rambam meant that gramos, or garmi, really, are de'oraisa, wouldn't he have said, garmi is de'oraisa? Saying enon kiknasos sounds like it's a derabanan. It's just, not a knas. He's medayik from the language that the Rambam uses there, as well as from the following halacha. If you take a look at Source Chav Beis, the Rambam in Chovel Umazik deals with Hezek Shein. Well, take a look. He says Hamazik Mamon Chavero. If you harm somebody else's property, Hezek Sheino Nikar, but it's a harm that's not visible. Since the item didn't change, the form is not destroyed. You're exempt from paying biblically. But rabbinically they said, since you reduced the value, you are liable to pay for what you did. So Berkowitz argues that lots of garmi is invisible. Lots of garmi is like that, where you can't see the harm, like the money changer case. So he argues that it's a derabanan. The Shach, has a point where he used the term derabanan as well, but he clearly means knas, because we already saw him say it's knas. But take a look at source Chav Dalid, where he says, va'af de dine de garmid de rabanan ke'en de oraisa tikun. He says, he's dealing there with the question of what kind of goods or merchandise or materials you use to pay for garmi. And he says, you pay meitav, you pay out of your best. Because ke'en de oraisa tikun, because when the Chachamim enacted this, they enacted it to be modeled on the de oraisa. But again, we already saw the Shach conclude that it's knas. So what I'm trying to show you is, it's fuzzy here, in terms of calling it derabanan versus calling it knas. The only case in which I can tell you definitively that there's somebody who believes it's derabanan and not knas is Rabbi Yonah ben Eibeshitz, because he said so. If you take a look at source Chav Hei, in the Tumim, he says, L'fi ma shekasapi lahalan simin Shin Pei Vav, I couldn't find it in Shin Pei Vav, only what he has in Kufi Tes. De'ava poskim disvirlohu dina degarmi dina velo knasa, even the poskim who say it's din and not knas, mikomakom yecholom lispor dehu derabanan, they could still say it's rabbinic. Rak svirlohu rabbanan kav uhu ledina velo leknasa, they just think the rabbis made it a din and not a knas, nafkamina, a yoresh, an heir, nafkamina, shogig, right? Those will be my differences. So the Tumim is the only one I saw who explicitly said that it's a derabanan, meaning derabanan and not knas. But those are your possibilities for why one would be liable for garmi. Last note, and I realize I have 4 minutes, so we'll see what we can do with this. The issue of liability for garmi, ba'ones. What if you stumbled into a garmi despite your best efforts to avoid it? Classic case is the money changer. And I brought you the Gemara in source Chavav, but because of time, I'm not going to be able to read it aloud. I'll just tell you the story. They begin with a brisa which says, if you are an expert money changer, you got training and everything, and you see the coin and you make a mistake, you're exempt from liability. Whereas if you have no expertise, you're just a guy, and you took it on yourself to answer someone's question and you got it wrong, then you're going to be chayav. Then I have a second brisa that says, no, both of them are chayav. And we then bring two stories. In one story, Rabbi Chia is an expert money changer. He approves a coin, which is later rejected, and he then pays for it. However, that's only lifnim mishuras hadin. He went beyond the letter of the law. He really didn't have to, because he was fully trained. He went to the trouble of getting trained. So he was not paid for this service, by the way, as per the Shulchan Aruch on this. Reish Lakish, in the second story, shows a coin to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, as Tosfos notes, was not trained. Rabbi Elazar looks at the coin, says, looks good to me. Reish Lakish says, I'm counting on you. Rabbi Elazar says, who cares? Only Rabbi Meir, who judges Garmi, would say that I'm going to be liable for my advice. And Reish Lakish says, yeah, but we follow Rabbi Meir. So, as a general rule, we say, one is only liable for garmi in a case of pshia, in terms of what we say. If someone, you know, is careless or somebody harms intentionally, they're going to be liable. That seems to be the principle. I brought you the Shulchan Aruch in source Chav Zayin to that effect. And the Aruch HaShulchan explaining it as well in source Chav Ches. We seem to say that garmi is a knas, or if you like the Tumim, a derabanan, and therefore, if it happened despite your best efforts, you got training as a money changer and you still made a mistake, you're going to be exempt from liability. That's the Aruch HaShulchan, which I brought you in source Chav Ches. However, this goes back to what Jeffrey wanted to talk about in the beginning, and I'm glad I made it to it after all. In the event that the asker makes clear, I am relying on you for advice, such as via a contract framework, by paying for it, or Reish Lakish saying, I am relying on you, now you have created a relationship in which there is a duty of care. There's a responsibility that you now have that you can't shirk and say, well, it's just garmi. That doesn't work. And therefore, I brought you in the sheet at the end, first of all, source Chav Tes from a secular decision that talks about the tort of negligent misrepresentation and the idea of a special relationship between the representer and the representee. Paying somebody creates a special relationship, demonstrating in some way that there is a relationship and so on. That's where there's going to be liability. Why? Because you created the relationship, and that's spelled out also in Lamed and Lamed Aleph. But again, just to make sure that we're somewhat clear, there's more to be said on that, and I really rushed it. If you look at my malpractice shiurim on YU Torah, not shiurim that are malpractice, shiurim about malpractice, you could see that there, and I discussed it more at length. But the bottom line is, out of our Gemara, Grumma is Usser. Don't do things that could cause harm to other people, even indirectly. If one does, he's chayav bidei shamayim, which Meiri is very harsh about, but most of the poskim seem to go against Meiri and say, no, it's just kapara, you need to atone for the wrongdoing. Garmi, on the other hand, carries liability. Garmi could be the oraisa level responsibility, where your damage is more direct, more of a guaranteed result, more of a product of your particular act. Or it could be that it's something that's just a knas. The rabbis decreed it in particular cases, or even a derabbanan. The rabbis decreed in particular cases. We seem to hold that it's really a knas, and that we don't expand beyond the cases that we were originally given. There's always more to be said, but Rabbi Mann is going to take over next week and give shir, I believe, on Chazaka ben Izakin. Okay, so look for Mara Makomos, Matzai Shabbos, or Sunday night on the shir email list. What, Rabbi Mann? Go ahead. Sorry.